Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Where else on planet Earth, other than the Church of Jesus Christ, can every single person be welcomed warmly with all of the diversity, with all of the differences, other than the Church of Jesus Christ?
Welcome to The Verdict, the daily radio program featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The Church of Jesus Christ is filled with different nationalities, cultures, and opinions. But sometimes our different perspectives can lead to disagreements and even division. Today, we'll remember the importance of love and unity in the body of Christ. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe introducing the second part of his message titled, When Christians Disagree.
Are you a welcoming person? I'm not asking if you agree with everyone, but are you the kind of individual who shows love to every follower of Jesus, even though they may look on things a little differently from you? Last time we began to think of situations where Christians disagree. Can you disagree without being disagreeable? This is not to say we shouldn't have our personal convictions, but it is to say that we must learn to welcome one another as God has welcomed us. Sometimes we forget that followers of Christ come from different backgrounds and may approach things in a very different way. Now, as we study Romans 14, let's learn more on this very important subject, which often is not practiced between followers of Jesus Christ.
I don't think you regard the holiness of God as strongly as I do, because I'm wearing a tie and you're not. Now you say that sounds foolish. It is foolish. But as I say, how many churches have been divided over these disputable matters? Now what's Paul saying? Welcome one another. Why? Did you notice the end of verse 3? For God has welcomed him. I am to welcome you, and you're to welcome me, because God has welcomed both of us. Isn't that wonderful? If God has welcomed me, who are you not to welcome me? Now, look at verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. The passing judgment, I think, particularly has the strong in view. But this principle of welcoming one another applies to us all, whether we're strong in the faith or weak in the faith. Look down to chapter 15, verse 7. Paul summarizes it, this key verse. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. What's important is not my tie. It's not whether you have a ham sandwich or not. It's not how you regard the Lord's Day. What's important is the glory of God. And it is not going to glorify God if you and I fall out over a matter of opinion, over a matter of something which is disputable. There must be mutual acceptance. Each of us must be committed to the spiritual health, the spiritual vitality, the spiritual growth of one another. I am to help you spiritually, and you are to help me. And to do that, we welcome one another as God has welcomed us. Notice what Paul doesn't do, which would be the American view, which would be the contemporary church view. He doesn't say, okay, I tell you how we'll solve this problem. We've got these two groups. We've got the weak and the strong. I tell you what we do. Let's form two distinct congregations. I mean, we're never going to agree with these things. We've had all of these meetings, with all of these elders' meetings and congregational meetings, and we still can't get agreement. So let's form two separate congregations. Those who think this, go this way. Those who think this, go that way. He doesn't do that. They are to be united. Do you really want to divide the body of Christ? Yes, a social club. A country club may only want people who all look alike and sound alike and can pay alike. That's not the church. All ethnicities, all peoples. Remember Jesus says, it will be a house of prayer for just the Jews, No, for all the nations. We welcome all ethnicities, all cultures, all peoples. I've shared a little bit about the way I was raised, and some of you can't for the life of you identify with that. You think, my background was nothing like that at all. No wonder you look at things differently. Your worldview, your perspective, what is acceptable, the style of worship, what people wear when they go to church, and these things, what people eat, what people drink. You look at things very, very differently. How wonderful to remember that our Heavenly Father welcomes each one of us into the family of God. Isn't that incredible? Where else on planet Earth, other than the Church of Jesus Christ, can every single person be welcomed warmly with all of the diversity, with all of the differences, other than the Church of Jesus Christ, particularly if people are weak, particularly if people are struggling, particularly if people don't get it and may struggle with a truth that some of us learned when we were 5 or 6 years old, and here someone is converted from paganism and they struggle and they don't seem to get it. What are we to do? To quarrel with them? Throw them out of the church? No. We're to welcome them. We're to pray for them. We're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So don't judge. Don't condemn others. Those who are different from you are part of the same body of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here's the point, mutual acceptance. If God has welcomed that brother or sister, you must, I must welcome them. I hope you agree with that, that you must welcome all in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the second principle? The principle of personal convictions. Let me read verses 4 and 5. Who are you? Are you listening? Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. What's the argument here? Welcome others, because the Lord Jesus is our master. Jesus is that brother's master, not you. Why do you think you're over that person? Paul uses an illustration from the household. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Your next door neighbor is getting their house painted. And as the painter begins to paint the house, you look out from your self-righteous porch, and you don't like the way the painter is painting. You don't like the color of the paint or the way he's doing it or the type of paint. And you go to the painter and say, how dare you, sir? I don't like that color. I don't like that paint. And by the way, you're using the wrong brush. What does the painter say? Depends who it is. If he's Scottish, he pours the paint over your head. But Americans are much kinder, much nicer people. You say to the person, the painter says, wait a minute, who are you to be telling me how to paint? I've got the master. I've got my instructions, and the instructions to paint this house didn't come from you, but came from the owner. Why are you getting involved in this? That's the point, isn't it? Do you have your personal preferences? Yes. Do you have your personal convictions? Yes, all of us do. And you may have very strict rules for yourself so that you can cultivate a holy walk with God. And there are certain things that you may not do and certain things that you refrain from doing. Maybe you are vegetarian. Maybe you observe the Lord's Day very, very strictly. Praise God for that. If you believe, that is drawing you closer to the Lord. But don't force your personal convictions on that brother or that sister. Why? You're not their master. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. What an attitude. Paul is a great apostle of the free. Of course he's free, but he's saying, listen, there's another principle at play here. I become a servant of all so that I can win people for Christ. See, your personal convictions and my personal opinions are to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Don't try to control other people's thinking. Don't try to pressure people to get everyone to think the same way as you do over these disputable areas. Instead of you being their judge, leave that to God. No, don't judge them. Serve them. Welcome them. Love them. Christ is our master, not one another. Verse 6, the one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. My parents, in strictly observing the Sabbath, you may disagree with them, but when they were doing it in honor of the Lord. That's what they believed. That was their firm convictions. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord. I have pork, I do it in honor of the Lord. Since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, he's vegetarian. Poor brother. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. The one who abstains, notice what Paul is saying, in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God, for none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. You get this? Don't live such a self-centered life. Both the weak and the strong are to live for the glory of God. That's the point. Whatever you're doing in your eating, your drinking, in the Christian life, make sure that you're doing it in a spirit of thankfulness, and you're doing it not to pursue your own little agenda or to make life easy for yourself, or to give the impression that you're more spiritual than others. Do it for the glory of God. Yes, there are those who have very sensitive consciences, but they are, in fact, weak. The Jew wouldn't eat pork because of his conscience and because of his understanding of the law. But our consciences must not only be informed by our past, by our traditions. I've told you some of mine with the Lord's Day. More importantly, our conscience is to be instructed by the Word of God. And so the person who is weak in faith, he often thinks he's strong. But he is, in fact, weak in faith if he thinks that observing these rules brings him closer to God, or if he tries to force his personal convictions on you or on me. He regards himself as a strong believer. In actual fact, he's weak. He's a bit of a legalist because he's looking, in following these rules, he's being more acceptable with God, and he's trying to convince others to see everything the same way as he is seeing. Paul is saying, no, we're accountable to Jesus Christ. He is my master, not you. Listen to Paul in Colossians 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Stop it, brother. Stop it, sister. Stop judging. The Lord is the master. He's the one who judges. Who are you to judge others? Who appointed you as this judge? Who are you to condemn other people is the point. No, make sure that what you're doing is being done to the Lord. I'm not going to be going around judging you, and I don't want you to despise me because I don't adhere exactly to the same way you respond to some of these disputable matters. Finally, very quickly, the principle of divine accountability. These all are wrapped together. The principle of mutual acceptance, the principle of personal convictions, the principle of divine accountability. Verse 10, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Are you getting the point? Paul has said this, he's going to say it again. in the continuing passage. Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Oh, that makes us stop, doesn't it? For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Welcome others, because God is the supreme judge. Don't judge, don't despise. If you're weak in your faith, you tend to judge. If you think you're strong in your faith, you tend to despise the weak. Isn't it the case when people disagree with us, we like to put a label on them? Legalist, worldly, shallow, pharisaical. We do this, don't we, as followers of Christ sometimes? And usually it's not complimentary. And it usually means on some issue, they see things differently from us. It's easy for the weak Christian, the one who has scruples on food and drink and observance of days, to judge those who don't accept their views or standards. Don't do that. It's very easy for the strong in their faith to look down and despise this poor brother, this poor sister with these hang-ups over these scruples and rules and hang-ups. No, both judging and despising are wrong. Remember this. Notice what Paul says, verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on who? Your brother. I grew up in a house of six boys. Did we fight? Did we ever disagree? Yes, constantly. Some of my brothers didn't always respect my opinion. Could you believe that? Many disagreements. When Goodney met her family, she said, John, you're always fighting. I said, no, this is just normal conversation. It was just the culture. As long as we're meant to be agreeable in our language, no rude words, certainly no swearing in our house. But my father allowed us, very wisely, to state disagreements. But we loved each other, we're brothers. Some of you in your families, you disagree with one another. As I say, in your marriage, you disagree. Ah, but we remember, this is my brother. I love this brother. Do I always agree with him? No. Do you see things differently? Yes. Nothing wrong with that. But don't judge. This is your brother. Paul's going to say later in chapter 15, this is the one for whom Christ died. What did Jesus say? Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. I know that verse is overused, but it certainly applies here. On these disputable matters, stop being the judge. If you are very judgmental, that will come back to hit you. No, you need grace. I need grace. Whether you think that brother is weak or strong, accept them, love them, welcome them. I'm glad I have many people over the years who have welcomed and accepted me, although they haven't always agreed with me. Don't set yourself up as a judge. Don't set yourself up as a busybody in the church, always going around trying to put everyone right and getting them to see things the same way as you do. No, that's very dangerous. Potentially, it is divisive. In love, welcome and receive one another. Of course, we stand solid on the gospel. Of course, we stand strongly where God has clearly revealed his will. But there are other matters which are disputable, and these are the matters that Paul is saying. And can I encourage you to do something that many of you are already doing? And some of you are going to find this quite challenging. Others of you from your backgrounds are going to do it more easily. But can I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to reach out to somebody who may be a bit different from you, who looks at things differently, different background, different view of things. Will you reach out to that person today? You know, cliques are usually in the clique, in the circle. Was it C.S. Lewis called it the inner circle? These little cliques, these little inner circles, I found over the years, they're usually composed of people who see things pretty much the same. They look alike, sound alike. Birds of a feather flock together. I understand that. We all enjoy being with people who agree with us, come from similar backgrounds. Of course we do. Someone from Scotland comes here, I'm going to welcome them, and because I understand them. I understand their humor. I understand the way they think. It's easy for me to relate to someone else from Scotland. But that's not the church, is it? Have a little, just a group of people who always see the same way as you. If you're part of that circle, if you've got that friends, praise God that you formed rich friendships through your life group, through your Bible study. Wish we had more of that. And I encourage you, if you're not part of a life group, to go to one. And you say, I'm not sure if I'm going to be welcomed. Let me tell you, you will be welcomed. If you're not, tell me. You will be welcomed. I can guarantee you'll be welcome. But for those of you who are part of these life groups, make sure you warmly accept that new convert, that person who's searching, that person who may ask the difficult question, and that person in the Bible study who sometimes says things you don't agree with. Love them and care for them. Invite that person to your home. Invite them for a coffee. Reach out to them. Welcome them in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because our great God welcomes all who through faith, in repentant faith, humbly come to the Savior. Our Savior came to his own and his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh, but of God. That's the gospel, isn't it? That whoever you are, if you humble yourself before God, if you cry out to God for salvation and grace, he'll save you. And you will be welcomed into the family of God, this rich, rich family. How wonderful, for all of eternity. And you can begin to enjoy that unending fellowship here and now as you interact and welcome your brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, this is sometimes difficult for us. We confess that we are sometimes judgmental. We can even despise people, look down on them. Forgive us, Father. Thank us for the reminder of the cross, that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. And may each of us humbly welcome one another as you have welcomed us, all to the glory of God. In Christ's name, amen.
You're listening to Pastor John Monroe, and this is The Verdict. Today, we're concluding a message titled, When Christians Disagree. And John has more to share in just a moment, so stay with us. Now, as we continue in our fourth and final series in the Book of Romans, we want to remind you to get your own copy of this study's exclusive guidebook by John called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel. This unique resource offers helpful background material and discussion guides for chapters 12 through 16, along with questions and prompts to help you apply these lessons to your everyday life. There's so much to learn from this fundamental book of the Bible, and this guidebook will encourage and equip you to keep learning more. So don't wait. Request your free copy of Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, when you visit us on our website by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, be sure to also sign up for our monthly email list to get personal ministry updates from John. The Verdict is a nonprofit ministry of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word every day, everywhere we can, so that as many people as possible will hear the gospel and come to a verdict of their own. And in order to do that, we rely on the generous donations of faithful listeners like you. To give a gift today, just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Demonstrate your love for Jesus Christ by loving those who disagree with you. Don't judge your brothers and sisters in Christ by gossiping about them or labeling them in some way. And don't exclude those who are different. Look for opportunities to demonstrate love and hospitality. We are all accountable to God, so don't judge, don't be divisive. Remember how God welcomed you into his family and extend grace and love to everyone within the body of Christ. Next time, we're going to discuss the important subject of personal freedom.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.